I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So once again, we have a podcast coming at you totally off the cuff, and something that has just come up over the last, let's say, couple of days in particular, and it plays and piggybacks off of episode 99 of like when it's not working and how we can get into this place of denial and resistance, and we keep trying to push something that's just not working. We sometimes have to recognize, okay, what I'm doing is not working, and this doesn't have to be the end all. It doesn't mean that I can't lose weight. It doesn't mean I can't find a new job. It doesn't mean I can't find a spouse. It's just that this current tactic, this current approach, this current mindset that I have isn't working for me, and the peace and the value that comes from that. And so we're going to do a little spinoff, and this is not what I had planned to talk about today. And it just, so just bear with me, because there's a lot of different ideas and I promise I'll try to tie them all up in a pretty bow at the end, but it might get a little messy. I was thinking about this concept about how a lot of times we feel like there's this, and I talk about it as like resistance. We can resist and avoid, oftentimes it's negative emotions. And that is typically what keeps us in an emotional eating cycle. It's something comes up, some kind of emotion comes up, some thoughts come up. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to think it. It feels too bad. And so we look to get out of it. We are resisting the emotions. We're avoiding them. And so now it's, let me eat. Let me drink. It might be, let me open this dating app. I was buffering with a dating app for a while because it was way easier to get a hit of dopamine by opening an app and seeing who swiped on me and seeing who was on the app and having conversations and talking to people. It was a great distraction from the silence, from the alone time. And being alone doesn't mean we have to feel lonely. And I think this is always so fascinating. Sidebar here. I was talking with a client who she's married, has two children, and she was talking about how stressful things can be. And she's like, sometimes I just want to be alone, like for an entire weekend. That would be so wonderful if I could just go out to eat by myself, if I could go to a hotel by myself and just be alone. She doesn't feel lonely. She's alone, but she's really enjoying that alone time. And I think that is something where I have been like that before too. Like the thought of going out to a restaurant by myself, or back when I lived in North Carolina, there was this coffee shop that turned into more of a restaurant bar in the evenings. And so once a month, I'd go get a massage on like a Friday evening, and then I would go bring my laptop to this bar coffee shop, and I would get a drink or usually order a cocktail and write content. And I would write podcasts or Facebook posts or something like that. I was just writing, but having fun by myself, all alone. And it was wonderful. I loved it. And then being divorced and single and going to a restaurant by myself or going to sit at the bar by myself, I feel like a total loser. It's not the act of going to the restaurant or going to the bar. It's the story I'm telling myself. It's what I'm making it mean. Okay. Anyways, I don't know where I got off on that tangent. And because I don't have notes, I don't know exactly where I'm going to get us back to. But I promise this will all make sense. Resistance. Okay. So we are in resistance to, typically it's negative thoughts, negative emotions, and it can be about where we are in our career, where we are in our relationship, our parenting abilities. It could be about a variety of things. Sometimes it's what's happened that day, what's happened that week. Sometimes it's these bigger, deeper things of, I thought I would be further along by now. I thought when I got married that it was going to last forever. I think it's this where I should be. A lot of times it's unmet expectations. I thought I would have lost more weight by now. Right? It's shoulds, it's the expectation, and it can be this deeper undercurrent, not necessarily having to do with anything for that particular day. It might be a thought of like, how did I let myself get this way? This is such a problem. So we wind up in these loops and these cycles going around of like, somehow there's some kind of trigger, whether it's silence, whether it's making food, whether it's traffic, whether it's your kids, whether it's a spouse or a boss, or right, there's some kind of trigger for these negative thoughts and emotions. And because we don't want to feel them, because we don't want to think about them, rather than going through them and coming up and out the other side, it's no, we stay in these cycles. We stay in these constant loops. We never break out of it because we are so unwilling to feel the emotion. We are so unwilling to accept and recognize that this is where we're at, or we're unwilling to accept that these are my true and honest thoughts. This is part of why we can have a hard time accepting when something's not working, and we can be in denial about that and stay in a broken weight loss loop that's not working for you, or a broken restrict binge regret cycle, because we keep doing the same thing over and over again versus being willing to sit with the shame, the guilt, the regret, the self-loathing that comes up with because of what the scale says that day or whatever the particular trigger was. And so we have to drop the resistance to the negative emotions, to the negative thoughts, and allow them, process through them, and be able to, if you think about it like a circle and you just keep spinning around and around, when you get back up to the top where you're like 12 o'clock is, instead of going to one, you have to be able to break up and out of that cycle. And that goes into feeling the emotions. And usually we don't want to, right? Because, and actually that it should be at the bottom of the loop, because we don't want to go down low. We don't want to feel the negative emotion, the negative energy, whether it's our own internal resistance, whether it's something that somebody put on us, whether it's you're not supposed to be sad or stressed, or if you feel this way, then it means you're ungrateful. You should always be happy. Whether it's stuff we picked up as kids or as adults, we have learned like we're supposed to be happy most of the time. And I think even if you were just to ask yourself, well, okay, how often should you be happy versus sad, or like positive emotions to negative emotions? And most of us would probably say, okay, I'll do 10% negative emotions. I could do that. Maybe I'll give you 15. But 85% of the time, I want to be happy. I want to be feeling good. I want to feel like a winner. I want to feel amazing. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to accept that life is going to be 50-50. And it doesn't mean that half the time life is going to totally suck. It just means for different areas of our life, like some things can be going really well, while also other areas might be more challenging and more of a struggle. But this kind of acceptance even, and not even resisting this fact of a 50-50 life, is going to help you to create more peace and more acceptance with where you're at. So you're no longer avoiding, in denial, you're no longer buffering, you're dropping the resistance to it, and you're able to move forward into acceptance, peace, problem solving effectively when needed. And so the way that I was thinking about it was like just kind of self-reflecting, and this year noticing cycles, noticing patterns, noticing habits in relationships, noticing patterns and habits around people pleasing in particular. I know I brought this up recently. I promise the whole podcast is going to come on this, but if I keep finding new layers. And for a while, I told myself, I keep learning the same thing over and over again, or I keep making the same mistake, or I need to learn from this mistake now, that way I don't keep repeating it in the future. But there are going to be some patterns, some habits, some things that I'm just going to keep learning at deeper levels. It's not that like the people pleasing is probably so deeply ingrained in me that it's something that will often be there. Not always, but often. And it's something that I'm going to keep learning deeper and deeper. I'm going to start to see it in more and more areas, which is exactly what's happened. And nothing has gone wrong. And so I think sometimes we feel like, oh, it's I need to get out, or at least for me, in my coach speak, it's I need to get out of resistance. I need to allow. I need to feel sufficient. I need to feel peace and ease and acceptance. And then I can go on to the good thing. And if I can drop the resistance, I can learn the lesson. That way I don't have to repeat this again in the future because this sucked. This was terrible. I don't want to do that again. Versus recognizing this whole pattern of resisting, getting into dropping the resistance, and then moving into like productive emotional fuel, productive problem solving. Like the whole thing is going to get repeated, and all of it is good, and all of it is useful, and all of it we can work with. And the way I talk about it when it comes to weight loss and emotional eating is I will always tell clients, like, you will still emotionally eat. You will still binge. Just signing up for a program, just sending me some money, just watching a few videos is not going to magically rewire the neural pathways in your brain. It's not. Otherwise, it would have been done by now. We are going to, we have to rewire the habits. We have to rewire thought patterns. We have to rewire your emotional safety with what's coming up. Okay? There's going to be some resistance, and that's okay. You are still going to emotionally eat. You are still going to binge. And now we are going to learn from it. And I'm going to teach you the tools for how you learn from it, how you use these to move you forward. We often hear about how, like, we want to fail forward. Failure can be a good thing. Failure is on the path to success is one of the things that I will often remind clients. And it's the most beneficial when we learn from it. But we have to drop the shame. We have to drop the judgment. We have to get really curious and compassionate with ourselves to be able to assess and evaluate those so that we can learn from it. But nothing has gone wrong. And so it's like knowing that this is the cycle, this is the process. And I'm learning things, I'm spotting things, and I'm also probably going to learn them at new levels in the future. Nothing has gone wrong. I'm probably going to avoid and buffer and live in denial for a little while. And then I'm going to drop the resistance, and then I'm going to move into acceptance piece, and then something more like productive of, okay, what do I want to do from here? How do I want to solve this? What's the most effective or like my next best step? That's the full process. I shouldn't be upset at myself if I still overeat or emotionally eat sometimes. I shouldn't be upset when I want to buffer or I want to avoid or push that down. It's all part of this bigger cycle that's playing out. And now I'm no longer in fear of it. I'm now needing it to go away faster. I'm now no longer worried about something coming up in the future. And I'm also not going to be surprised or caught off guard or thinking something's gone wrong when it does come up again. Because this idea of, oh, I need to learn this lesson now. I need to stop this habit now so that I don't carry it into the future. I think it's like on some levels, that feels very true to me. And maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, I'll have a different perspective because we are always growing and evolving and learning and seeing things from a different lens. But I think to some extent that can be true. There are going to be some things that we don't keep repeating. And it's also okay that certain things do. I'm going to keep learning this at a deeper level. I'm going to keep learning this and seeing how it applies in more ways, in more areas. Because how we do one thing is how we do everything. And I was just reminded of that on a call today. So this is something that I have had some resistance to. It doesn't mean it's how we do every aspect of our life is lived like this, but often what we see happening in one area is often coming out in others. For example, if we are avoiding negative emotions and we are just looking for some other outlet, we can be emotionally eating, emotionally drinking, emotionally dating, emotionally sexting, emotionally spending. We can be doing all of these things. And the issue is the intention. Eating food, even drinking alcohol, like these things are in and of themselves are not a problem. It's the intentionality behind it. And when we're doing it from a place of, I need to resist, I need to avoid, I need to distract myself, often it's also so that I can live in this fantasy world, so that I can maintain this fantasy of what I want, what I think is happening, what I believe. And learning how to let go of the fantasy, I think it's easier said than done, right? Whether it's the fantasy of a future relationship or the future body you want or who you think you are or you should be or your parenting skills. We can see this in so many different areas, but our brains are very good at protecting us from the truth. We can be really good at living in denial. I was listening to a book called Love Is Not Enough. I had a friend tell me about it, and I looked it up. I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And I started listening and I'm like, holy shenanigans. This is like blowing my mind. And I love the way that the author has it set out and what he's doing in terms of interviewing people and then talking about what's going on. I'm like, oh, I've been wanting to do podcasts like that or YouTube videos. So it's feeding and inspiring me to do some things in a similar vein. I love this type of approach. One of the chapters, chapter 4, is choosing reality over fantasy. And it's interesting to see all of the examples and all of the ways these different people are living in some kind of fantasy world and are choosing to not accept reality. They're trying to avoid and resist the reality of where they are. And instead, they're living in this fantasy. Just, I think it was episode 4 or 5, where I talk about perfectionist fantasies. And we live in the fantasy of like, tomorrow I'll be perfect. Then I will stick with my goals. Then I will achieve the body when I can be perfect. And that's always tomorrow. That's because I wasn't perfect today. I wasn't perfect this week. But I'm really going to try hard on Monday. And we live in this perfectionist fantasy. And we have to come to terms with the fact that we are not perfect. And we will keep relearning lessons and learn them deeper. We're going to keep learning them so that we fully understand and comprehend the message and what's at play. And we're going to keep learning new levels. We're going to keep going deeper and deeper. We're going to keep seeing it in different areas. We're going to learn it in slightly different versions so that nothing in life ever throws us off. It's like we learn how to do things in one setting, and then we don't know how to do it in other settings. So maybe you learn how to lose weight when you're at home and not eating out and not traveling, not on vacation. And then we have to learn, okay, how do I keep losing weight? How do I still manage my emotional eating when stress levels are high, when work is really busy, when the kids are home from school, when I'm now on this work trip for 2 weeks overseas, whatever the circumstances, it's no matter how the circumstance changes, how do we still maintain this? And we're always learning what that looks like. And part of how we learn is through failure, is through making mistakes, is through not getting it right. And then having the self-awareness and the ability to reflect back on, here's how I want to do things differently. And this is why coaching is so damn valuable, is because we need somebody outside of ourselves to be that reflection and to show us what is happening, to give us a new perspective, to help us see the forest through the trees, to help us get clarity on what's really going on, or even just to show us how we might say things that are thoughts, their opinions, and yet somebody will point out like, oh, wow, you said that as if it was like one of the Ten Commandments, as if it was God's word written in stone or like some law of the universe, when really that's just a thought. That's your opinion, which means you can change it. There's power in this. But I really loved this concept of fantasy because I also recognized where and how I was living in a fantasy and what that looked like in different areas of life. And so there have been these like little shifts building up into some of these bigger awarenesses, bigger epiphanies, like just really transforming, like really transforming the way that I see myself and the way that I want to show up and do life. And this year in particular has been really great discovery of that. And I have seen such progress in my own life and my own ability to handle and feel and allow and process all the negative emotions, all of the shit that comes up, all of the negative thoughts, all of the shoulda, woulda, couldas, all of the ways that I'm not meeting my own expectations, and to really learn how to be there for myself, to not throw myself under the bus, to not need it to go away fast, but to also not wallow in like depression, but to learn from it, to be able to shift that energy. But one of my biggest things has been being willing to acknowledge and sit with negative emotions, because I'm really good at looking on the bright side. I'm really good at seeing the silver lining. I'm really good at things like this, like there's a lesson here that I just need to learn. And also recognize, and this really hurts, and this is really painful, and I really wish I wasn't here right now, like in this situation, not here on earth, but I wish I wasn't in this situation. And there's power in going through all of this. And the more that I allow the emotions, the more I recognize and notice the thoughts, the more I stop shaming myself for it, the faster and quicker I move through it, the more I catch things sooner, the more I catch it in other areas, just like we catch the emotional eating faster. So the emotional eating might still continue, but the eating becomes less and less. It's less in quantity. So our binges, it's less in quantity. It's less in frequency. You catch it sooner. You decode it sooner. And one of the times when I really felt like a total badass at this was I was at a restaurant. And I think I may have even given this example on the podcast at one point, but We were out at Mexican, and I was with my ex-husband and son, and we were out with some friends and their kids. And I had overeaten. And it wasn't a lot, maybe 3 or 4 bites. But in the time it took me to walk from the table, to stand up from the table, walk outside and walk to the car, I had done my evaluation and figured out, oh, I really wasn't even hungry by the time my meal got there. But I kept telling myself, because I got a taco salad, it's not going to taste as good tomorrow. So I should probably eat some of it, enjoy it while I can now, while it's fresh, while it tastes good. So if I thought about it, I was like, oh, I probably didn't need to eat any of that taco salad, let alone 2/3 of it. I definitely could have left a few extra, like a few more bites behind. But because I had the thought, this isn't going to taste as good tomorrow, it kept me eating. And so it's like less than 60 seconds. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I remember when discovery worksheets, things that I give to clients to help them decode and understand their emotional eating and binge eating, I remember when those things would take me 20 to 30 minutes. And now I'm doing it in 60 seconds. And I'm like, oh, here's what was going on. Okay. And I do it so fast. I do it by the time I get to the car in the parking lot. This is power. This is amazing. I am not beating myself up because sometimes I still overeat, because sometimes I still emotionally eat. I'm looking at, holy cow, I went from binging many times a week, overeating and emotionally eating every single weekday, every single week of the year, like so much extra food that I was eating and consuming, so much extra time spent in the gym trying to burn it off, trying to right my wrong. I no longer have that habit. And now occasionally it still comes up. Like sometimes there is still some emotional eating. And there's just some new lessons that I need to learn. There's still that awareness of, like, okay, I'm really good at allowing the big, heavy negative emotions. Like last year going through the divorce and like the grief and sadness and hurt and rejection and like these really painful things, I could handle that. And sometimes it's just this slight discomfort, slight disappointment. The little things now that I'm starting to catch and be aware of and be mindful of. Maybe it's even more, not even quite boredom, restless. It doesn't feel terrible, but I can still be eating because of it, or eating to avoid, eating to distract. That's always our work, is to be present, to not live in the fantasy. And the fantasy's fun, right? Everyone behaves the way that they should. Everyone operates the way that we should. Everything is great. It's amazing. It's fun. It's really fun to stay in denial and keep living in this fantasy life, to keep living in this bubble life. But it's not real. And there comes a point where we have to let go of the fantasy. Part of that letting go of the fantasy is the willingness to allow those emotions and to allow the thoughts and to make peace with it. Even when it's a little painful, even when it stings a little bit, even when we don't feel amazing. Otherwise, we just keep repeating the same things over and over again, searching for something in that buffering. Often for a core craving that we're really looking, it's a core craving we're really looking for. Love, acceptance, community, feeling valued, appreciated, wanted, respected. Those are the core values. They're the core cravings that we have in life. And often that is what's underneath these top-level emotions. So when I feel rejected because my ex doesn't even seem to fight for me when I tell him I want a divorce, it taps into that unwanted wound. He doesn't want me. I'm not good enough. It's the initial rejection, and then it's what I'm making that rejection mean. What's that deeper level that's coming out? And it's hard. Sucks. Does not feel good. But it's part of how we become emotionally healthy, emotionally stable, emotionally aware and resilient people. It's how we raise emotionally aware and resilient kids. It's how we be in healthy relationships with other people, is when we are no longer using these external sources to cover up and push down and fight and resist what's really happening in our body, what's really happening in our mind. And this is the work And I talk about this often, right? The work of weight loss, the work of emotional eating, it's not about doing burpees in the gym or running miles or HIIT workouts. This is the real work of weight loss. This is the real work when it comes to dating and marriage and relationships. This is the real work when it comes to you thriving in your career, your emotional resiliency, building that, building your emotional intelligence. And it starts with the awareness. Often it's going to be the awareness of what am I avoiding? What am I resisting? Where am I shaming myself? Because I think I should have learned this lesson by now. Where am I shaming myself and self-loathing? Because I tell myself I keep repeating the same habits over and over again without acknowledging where I'm learning from them. Because that's an important piece. But it's a question that you have to honestly ask yourself. Am I learning from this? And now it's, what am I learning from this? What am I learning from this experience? And we want to make it productive and useful. I think there were times when I was trying different weight loss programs and it's, what did I learn from this? I learned that my body can't eat carbs and lose weight. Not only was that not true, it wasn't helpful. So let's also be aware of what is productive and useful and helpful in our learnings, okay? This is the type of work that I do with clients. It's to help them understand the habits and the patterns and the cycles, help them identify those neural pathways, help them identify who it is that they want to become and then how they're going to get there. The obstacle is the way. All of the obstacles to losing weight, all of the obstacles to ending emotional eating, all of your obstacles in dating and marriage, all of the obstacles are the way. By learning how to move through them and process through them, that is the way forward. That's the way to healing. That's the way to personal growth. That is the way to weight loss. That's the way to ending and stopping your binging or emotional eating habit. It's through the obstacle. So we have to stop fighting it. We have to stop resisting it. And we have to stop thinking that because we talked about it one time or we had one epiphany moment from a podcast or some kind of program or a video that now it's all magically solved forever. Like, a guarantee. This is the beauty of working with one coach for a long time, is they can see and spot the patterns for you and like your MO. Just like my coach could spot my MO and she'd be like, so where's this showing up for you? We would notice something in business and she'd be like, so where's this showing up for you in dating? Or vice versa. And I'm like, holy shit, how did she know that? She knows it because she goes through the same thing herself. This is just human nature. It's because we have a human brain. This is just part of the human experience. The trade-off of being able to enjoy the pleasure and joy and fun and love and acceptance and peace. It's like, the trade-off is that sometimes we're going to feel negative emotions. We're going to feel sad and lonely and grief and rejected. And nothing has gone wrong. It's just part of being human. There's an older Switchfoot song that says something about the shadow proves the sunshine. Part of how we know day is that we also know night. Part of how we know good, because we also know bad. And we don't have to be at war with one. We can just, I think, making peace and accepting that this is part of being human and not expecting life to always be amazing or not having to even be like 90% amazing. And not trying to sugarcoat it, not living in a fantasy world, but being really honest with yourself about where you're at, about what you want, about what you're looking for, about the real fear underneath it. If this is something you would like help with, then I would love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And we'll talk about, what does this look like for you in particular? What are the cycles and the loops and the patterns that you are stuck in? What is it that you are resisting and fighting? Because I guarantee that is what's stopping you from getting to your end result, getting to your end goal. And the really fun thing here now is I am going to be starting a group program. And I will do another episode where I talk a little bit more about that, but we are going to start the week of September 8th. So this is going to be something where I haven't flushed out like all of the details, but there'll be weekly coaching. It's going to be a pretty small, intimate group, and you will have an opportunity to get access to me, to get coached every week, to work on yourself, to work on your life. And everyone in the program is also going to be working on emotional eating, binge eating, relationship with food, or maintaining and like maintaining those results. So you can work with me one-on-one privately, or you can join me in this group. And I think sometimes the group can be really amazing because we learn from other people's experiences and we learn from hearing other people get coached on things that we also wanted coaching or things that we didn't realize were going on, but now listening to somebody else share it, it's, oh yeah, me too. And that is so powerful. But the first place we start is with that initial call, just to see, is this a good fit? Where are you in your journey? Where is it that I can take you, and making sure that it's aligned and a good fit for both of us. And then from there, I'm happy to share more about what I would see and what I would recommend as being the best fit for you in term, or you might already know, like I want individual or I want the group or whatever it is. Okay. I think that's it. How have I been talking for 30 minutes already? I don't know. I looked down and we were at like, I don't know, 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, sweet. Like this will be a 20-minute podcast. And nope. Just sharing things on my mind, things that I am going through, that I am learning, that I am working on. And this is the work. This is the best work that you can do for yourself, that you can do for your spouse, that you can do for your future spouse, you can do for your kids or your future kids. This is the good stuff right here. I hope you'll have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.